the scriptures now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. We're there a little bit during today's children's sermon. We'll look at a bigger portion of that chapter as I start reading in verse 17, and we'll read through verse 25. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let us pray. O Lord our God, with us through Jesus. Hearts and minds be focused on him, that the word we hear will be the word not only about Jesus, but from Jesus to us here this day. We pray now in his name. Amen. You're probably not surprised to come here on Christmas Day and hear Matthew's story of the birth of Jesus. But you may be a little surprised that I started our reading with chapter 1, verse 17. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. So before we get to Mary and Joseph and to the infant Jesus and from there to the arrival of the Magi and then Herod's enraged attempt to manipulate them, we actually turn back the clock. Before Matthew takes us to Bethlehem, he takes us way back in time, 42 generations to be exact. He gives us Jesus' family tree. Now I realize that Matthew 1:1-17, that whole genealogy leading up to where I began today's text, isn't the most scintillating passage of scripture to read through or to hear read in the Gospels. We're most accustomed to hearing miracle stories, collections of teaching, parables, resurrection accounts, and so forth. But here in Matthew, we're greeted with a long series of generations. It's as if I were to stand up here and say, well, today's reading comes from Ancestry.com. So-and-so, the father of so-and-so, the father of so-and-so, the father of so-and-so. Or as the King James Version renders it, so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. By the time you reach the end of verse 10, that's a whole lot of begats. Today, actually, more and more people have a growing interest in finding out from where and from whom they've come. I mentioned Ancestry.com a few years ago. The company's website summarized its purpose this way. quote, "Simply start with yourself and we'll do the searching for you. Find your ancestors' story. Find your story. Discover yours. Find your ancestors' story. Discover yours." Discover your story. And by discovering your story, discover more about who you are. That's sort of the approach Matthew takes in his opening chapter. He wants us to know who Jesus is. That's foremost. And in order to know who Jesus is, we have to know Jesus' story. And Jesus' story doesn't just begin in the manger, as it turns out. His story actually begins generations earlier. His story actually begins with Abraham. He is, quote, son of Abraham. He's the heir to whom God's promises, which were made to Abraham, apply. In other words, God had promised Abraham, you may recall, the ancestor of the Israelite peoples, that all humanity would be blessed through him. The whole world would be blessed through him. And now, Jesus is the way that God's promise to Abraham is being fulfilled. That may sound like an old kind of truth, familiar to us in lots of ways coming here today, but it's important that we come back to it and reflect on it, because Jesus isn't merely a spectacular individual, a person whose life and teachings have shaped the lives of millions of people. That's true, and that's important, certainly. But Jesus' story is so much more. It's part of the story of God's saving work in the world, which began with Abraham and Sarah, or better yet, way back in creation itself, and extends all the way to the end, when God will come in Christ again to complete the work of new creation. In fact, the opening of Matthew's gospel, which reads, "The record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ," translates the Greek that actually reads, "The book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ." The Genesis of Jesus Christ. So Matthew is partly signaling that a new creation story, the renewal of God's creation as God had purposed it, as promised, is now underway. And it's underway through Jesus the Messiah, which means that in her arms, Mary cradles the purposes of God and the hope not only of God's people Israel, but the hope of the world. The destiny of humankind is in her arms. And speaking of Mary, she's actually one of five women who show up in Matthew's genealogy. That's no minor thing. Ancestry and inheritance were usually traced through the father's line. So a reference to women in a genealogy, it wasn't unheard of at that time, but it's certainly very uncommon. We might not be as surprised if women like maybe Sarah or Rebecca or Leah were in this list, this genealogy, but these aren't the ones who get mentioned, as it turns out. Instead, four women, some of whom are remembered for their questionable behavior, show up in Jesus' family tree. There's Tamar, remembered as the one who dressed as a prostitute, tricked Judah into having sex with her in order for him to do his fathering duty. There's Rahab, who ran a house of prostitution. There's Bathsheba, identified in the genealogy as, quote, Uriah's wife, who had an affair with David. Ruth is mentioned, who's also there primarily as a Gentile, a non-Israelite. In other words, an outsider to the people of God in that respect. It all brings to mind for me a scene in a situation from the sitcom Frasier. Some of you may remember that show. This was about a decade or more ago, I guess, in one episode. Frasier and his brother, Niles, and their father, Martin, take one of Martin's heirlooms to have it appraised on Antiques Roadshow. It's an old pewter bear clock, Russian, probably from the mid-18th century, belonging exclusively to the Romanov family, which was Russian royalty, the royal dynasty, and is estimated to be worth at least $25,000. So based on this discovery, Frasier and Niles conclude that they're descended from royalty, Russian royalty. They become obsessed with finding out the truth about their heritage, dreaming the possibility of titles, going to fancy parties, sharing about their lineage and telling these wonderful stories. And their excitement grows when they find out that their great-grandmother, who had sensed revolution underway, actually fled from Russia with that clock in hand. But eventually, after consulting with an expert at the Russian embassy, Fraser and Niles discover that their family tree, well, it's not actually as impressive as they thought. Their great-grandmother, she wasn't a princess after all. She was actually a scullery maid, the lowest of the low when it comes to household servants. And what's more, before she married their great-grandfather, she had worked as a prostitute in New York City. She had stolen the clock, which the Russian government now takes back. And in the meantime, their father, remember Martin, has taken $30,000 and purchased a Winnebago. So now, in the end, Fraser and Niles find out that they're not Romanovs and that they each owe their dad $15,000. Now, like Fraser and Niles, who discovered that their family tree was actually more of a mixed bag than they thought or had hoped, I think Matthew reminds us that Jesus' descent, it doesn't come exclusively through the high and mighty or the exceptionally holy. Jesus' lineage can actually be traced through a wide assortment of individuals, some quite extraordinary and some quite ordinary. Some famous and some hardly known, some Jewish and some Gentile. So even before we get to the actual birth of Jesus, Matthew starts this whole gospel with a genealogy, in part to put us on notice that the story he's going to unfold in the pages that follow, this story from cradle to cross to crown, this whole story is the story about the fulfillment, really, of both Jewish and Gentile hopes. A story about God's desire, like we said, to bless the whole world. So the scope of God's grace is here, and it means that the branches of Abraham's family tree are expansive, that these branches extend into the lives of people everywhere, including people like you and people like me. For you see, whatever your own personal heritage, whatever your family roots, whatever your own ancestral background, this text that we've got here from Matthew today isn't meant to be just a list of Bible people. It's not meant to be just a genealogy, not meant to be just their genealogy. From a spiritual standpoint, it's really our genealogy as well. This isn't just their family tree. It's also our family tree. It isn't just Jesus' story. It's also our story in that sense. Your story, my story. It's really the story of how Jesus has appeared so that a faithful and merciful God reaches out in redemption to bring you and to bring me into the life of his people so that you, through faith in this Messiah, Jesus, can be redeemed, saved, made part of the people of God, brought into this family of God, and that this isn't just Jesus' story, but it becomes your story. Not just his family tree, but also your tree as well, through faith in him as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Patient God, who works long and faithfully across time and generations to accomplish your saving purposes. Thank you for all those who preceded Jesus and from whom he came. And for what he's done for us, not only in the cradle, but at the cross, and the crown of resurrection and glory, so that we could be touched by your grace and brought into the life of your people, your family. As we listen now to the music that is shared with us and leads us now into your presence further, help us to hear again not only Jesus' story, but in it, our story, and how you work across time, and in this place here, in this time, today, this very moment, to accomplish your saving purposes through Jesus Christ, and to bring us into your work and your reign. Guide now those who come to share with us. Bless their voices. Gather our voices together with them, and praise to you for what you've done to bring us to this day in this celebration of his birth. We pray in his name.